If you are visiting with us today, we want to say welcome, and you have certainly come on a very special day at Washington Heights. If you were coming into this service at the time it's normally scheduled, you saw things were very different as we had the first service in here as well, and some children from the children's department here to witness the commissioning of two of our own family members to gospel ministry in the land of Togo. And we're so excited that you're here to be part of this. We had a chance to, in the first service, to share these thoughts with Josh and with Beth, and we want to take the time now in this service to share them with you. And we have a very special guest to help us in doing that. As you know, Josh and Beth are going to the land of Togo. Josh is a surgeon, Beth is a nurse. They're going to be taking on a medical ministry there in the northern part of the country, up in the, you know, getting close to the Sahara Desert region in the city of Mongo there. And we are excited for this opportunity. And what's really special is we have a guest with us today to challenge us as a church about our responsibility in supporting them, who understands that ministry very well. Dr. Robert Cropsey and his wife Shirley felt that same call several years ago. And when he was just a young man, as I understand the story, there was a pastor from Africa who came who himself had very minimal medical training and yet was able to provide a great service to the people of Africa in his help to them in whatever healthcare means he was able to provide. And he challenged young people at that time to consider making medical ministry a calling in their lives, and that got to Dr. Cropsey's heart. And so after a small detour to a moderate university up near Ann Arbor, Michigan, where he got his medical degree, we won't hold that against him. After a small detour there, he really followed God's, you know, true leading and calling, and went to Bangladesh for a while, and then was called to southern Togo, where he helped establish the Carolyn Kempton Memorial Hospital in Lomé. And that was in 1983. And just a little under 20 years later, after that hospital having become very well established and having a great impact on the community, people in the northern part of that nation said, we need something here as well. And so in 2002, Dr. Cropsey and others planted the Hospital of Hope up near the city of Mongo, and that's where Josh and Beth are going. It's just exciting to see how God has worked in Dr. Cropsey's life. He is currently responsible for missionary mobilization, medical mobilization, meaning getting new young doctors to come and take on the challenge of career ministry. I couldn't help but notice that he picked on our own Dr. Craig Schenck in the first service. Craig made the mistake of sitting down here in the front row. No, actually, Craig was where he was supposed to be. In fact, Dr. Cropsey and I were talking, and I'm going to go ahead and take this one, and you'll probably hear me say this again in the future. He was telling me that in Africa, the front row is considered the seat of honor, and only people under church discipline sit in the back. So I'll let you work that one out for yourselves. But Dr. Schenck was here in the front row, and Dr. Cropsey, boy, pointed a finger right at him and let Craig know that there are still opportunities and missions around the world. And, you know, I'm going to have a long talk with Craig and Sarah afterwards. But be that as it may, we are excited to have Dr. Cropsey here, a man of God who has been used in medical missions. And just to let you know the effectiveness of this, the hospital in Mongo has been functional now for, what, about 3 years? 3 years? About 3 years. And in that time, we have seen that ministry open the doors to plant churches. Now, you have to know that this part of northern Togo is a highly Islamic part of the world, and it is a challenge to get people who have been raised in Islam to really open their hearts to hear and receive the reality of who Jesus is. But through the work of the church plant there and with the support of the hospital and the connections that have been made, churches have been planted. And in fact, we just heard the story of a church about 30 kilometers away from the hospital that had 46 new believers baptized. And if you've worked in that world, it's a hard enough challenge to get a person raised in Islam to hear the story of who Jesus is. But to make a commitment of faith and then to make a public statement in the face of family and community to go out and be baptized, that is nothing short of miraculous. And 46 new people baptized recently into the family of God there in Togo. So we're just excited to have this ministry, excited to have Josh and Beth be a part of it, and excited to have Dr. Robert Cropsey here to speak to us. Will you welcome him here at Washington Heights?
All right, my mom always said, you better stand up straight, son. So I'm doing better. I'm used to bending over like this. I operate like that too, sort of, so it's good to actually stand up straight and your back lasts a little bit longer. All right, Josh knows all about that too. And when the table's not at the right height, it's a painful thing. Okay, well, I don't have a lot of time. Let's see, I got about 15, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, that's a dangerous thing to say, Pastor. All right. Well, you know what? I used to say it was far more easier to do surgery than get up in front of a bunch of people like you and do what I'm doing right now. It's better than it used to be, but I'd still rather be doing surgery, actually, in some ways. But I also realize that God's given me a mission, and my mission today is actually to talk to you guys who are already doing a fabulous job. I've heard about your amazing missionary sending capacity from this church. You sent out 20 families already. You're number 20 or 21. That's just unbelievable. So I'm so excited to hear that story. And Pastor, I liked your comments about the 46 people. One of our missionaries sent me up some pictures. He called it the boat, the cowherd, and something else. Baptisms are never an easy thing in the river. And anyway, so this is the big OT River, which is near our hospital, and it's huge. It's like a quarter of a mile across when it's a lot of water there. So he sent me several pictures that were really interesting. So here's this boat with a motorcycle on it. This is live video. It's coming toward the baptismal party. There's two pastors dunking people, and our lead church planner almost gets run over by this boat. Barely gets missed, and it's amazing. And then the other scene was this whole herd of cows. We're with this Fulani boy. We're coming down to the river right near where the baptism was, and the cows kept getting a little. You know, cows are always interesting. They're interested in what's going on around them, so they just sort of nudged a little closer until they got pretty close, and. You know, our missionaries were getting kind of nervous because there's a bull amongst those cows. But anyway, it all happened, and everybody was happy, so that was good. All right, so let me get on with the story here. This whole hospital in Mongo is a miracle in the making since 2002, and the first time I visited there. I remember going home after seeing the local hospital there, which was the most deplorable hospital I've ever seen. And people just went there to die, basically. They actually referred to it as a hospital of death. So I came back down south, 250 miles south, with a couple of my friends. And as we talked, as we left, we said, man, a clinic or anything short of a real hospital will not do anything for these people. So after a number of years, it took our team time to come up and see it for themselves and to say, okay, you're right. We need to do something here. Anyway, so we inaugurated that hospital in 2015. It was a grand day. The president of the country even showed up and cut the ribbon with a pair of surgical scissors that I provided for him. That was just what a blessing. These are some really good scissors, Josh. I don't think he hurt them any, but anyway, it was good. Anyway, so my job is to relay to you folks how important a mission that you have. You know, the missionary usually gets the credit, but actually we know behind the scene there's a whole army of people who have to be involved in helping. And you've helped them so much already, helped them to be able to go. And now your task has just gotten larger, okay? It's because when they pick up and leave a week from tomorrow, we hope you can pray about that visa. We need that visa yet, right? But when they pick up and leave a week from Monday, their whole world is going to change. I remember that when I left for language school. Actually, I was done with my language study, and my wife and I and our four boys headed to Togo. But I remember as we flew out past the Statue of Liberty at JFK, I looked out that airplane window, and I was thinking about what my colleagues, surgeons at the University of Michigan, had to say. Somehow the Satan just brought them into my mind, like, you are a crazy idiot. Look, you're taking your family to that godforsaken part of the world? And I looked out the window and looked at my kids and my four boys and my wife, and I said, maybe I am crazy. But you know what? Boy, I'm glad we followed through on that one, because what a blessing to see God at work. And as I mentioned in the first service, you know, to go with a lot of people praying every day for you, it's a huge, huge blessing. And you know it's God's power at work when you see God do things, you know you couldn't have possibly done yourself. But God's doing things. So that's why we need you. You need to be plugged into this. So let me just cover a few points here real quickly before I run out of time. I was in the Navy for a few years too, so I know the logistics a little bit about supporting Special Forces people. I had a Navy SEAL in my outfit on my ship, and I remember just talking to him many times. But you know, for every one SEAL that's out there getting a job done, there's at least 100 other people logistically who are helping him get his job done. If you get beyond your logistical set of people, you're going to run out of food and ammunition and everything else. And so that's why you guys are as key to this process as anybody. And so if God has given you a job and you're making money and you maybe have a skill that could be of help to them one way or another in the future, or maybe you need to just pack up your bags and go and help them for a few months, maybe build something or a project and go to help them. But anyway, so I just want to tell you folks, just stay faithful. Pray for them. They've got their prayer card out there on the table. Pick up several of them. Put one on your refrigerator. Put one at your desk where you are. But every day, just stop and just, when you see that picture, just pray for them, whatever God's called them to do. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6 that we're actually in a war. Here's what he had to say. He said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Wow. So this is, folks, you know these verses is better than I do, perhaps. But actually, I've seen these evil forces firsthand in my life. Sometimes we have a patient comes to our hospital. We do everything we know that's right, and they still don't get better. You know what happens every so often? It turns out that they went to see the witch doctor. And so we have to ask God to help this person come to faith in Christ so we can have victory over Satan in this person's life. And I've seen it over and over. What an amazing transformation happens when that person comes to faith and God gives them victory over this disease process that's going on. So I just want to remind all of us, this is war, and we've already had some serious losses in our camp since we opened 3 years ago. In fact, to the very day, our one-year anniversary was one of the saddest days of my life. My very best friend, Todd, who we spent years training down south, and watched God help him develop into an amazing PA surgeon. And he'd been sick for a couple of weeks, and he just got worse and worse. They finally medevaced him to Germany. And we thought because of the miraculous way he even got there, we didn't think that was even going to happen, that we were over the hump. But he died the very first night he was there. And excuse me. So I just want to tell you that it's costly to be willing to go. And I'll tell you, everybody that comes to Africa, that goes to the mission field, they are aware that they are expendable for God to accomplish his purposes, whatever that might be. His dear wife today has been all over America sharing the great needs in Togo, and God has been raising up new people to come and join us and burden the heart of others to get behind the project and help in so many ways. But I just want to tell you that there's people who pray faithfully and help people like Jennifer DeKreiger get the job done, just sharing her faith. You know, she's on her way back in another couple of months after their oldest son starts at Cedarville. And I don't know, your prayers are so key to everything that we're doing. So Josh will tell you, you've probably heard this story, but the way God laid this place on Josh's heart is he saw the mass graves where they were burying people who died in town. Every week or so, 10 to 20 people would die, and they put them in this grave. And Josh saw it, and I remember him just talking about it's just all these souls going out to eternity, and we could help them if we had a hospital here, right? So that's where he's headed. God just put this incredible burden on his heart and his wife's heart to go and help. And we have a wonderful team there, short staff, but they're really, they've been praying for these guys to show up because they are desperately needed. So he's going to be the second surgeon full-time there. And the third one is joining him in language school in another week or two as well. So that's a real answer to prayer. So three surgeons in one hospital. We've never seen that before up in Togo. So anyway, just pray for him. We're so anxious to see him get there. They're going to just have an incredible, blessed ministry. Well, I think Romans chapter 10, you know, Paul's talking here, and he says, after he said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he had another few verses that follow to say this. So, well, how will they believe or call on him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? So there's the goer. Josh has got to be a preacher when he gets there, too. We call it preach and heal, right? So Josh goes to the bedside of his patients. You know, he's going to just stop and maybe ask a few questions like we all do. Hey, how did you watch the Jesus movie last night? What'd you think about it? Because we have the Jesus movie in their local dialects, which is unheard of. They've never seen a movie in their own language. So they're watching the Jesus movie, and people are asking questions. Even imams are watching the movies, right? The priest of the Muslim world, they're entranced by this thing. Anyway, so this is the joy they have to go and just, these people are wide open. They're looking for the truth. They know they don't have the truth, and they're making decisions for God. So our job is to help them to get there. Just C.T. Studd, he said this. He said, true religion is like smallpox. If you get it, you give it to others, and it spreads everywhere. So that's what Josh is going to be doing in Beth, giving religion, the true religion, to people who need to know Jesus. He also said this, some want to live within the sound of the church or chapel bell. I just want to run a rescue mission 1 yard from hell. And boy, when you get to Togo, you'll think you're 1 yard from hell because it's so hot there. Boy, it gets hot there. So you can pray for them because they're going to live in a tough climate about 2 or 3 months out of the year, and then it's going to be dusty for another 3 or 4 months. So they need your special prayers to be able to live there. But they have a wonderful team of people to work with. And when you're with people who are gung-ho and excited about serving Christ and seeing things happen, everything's possible because God has given them a wonderful team. So I'm just going to remind you of some things that you can pray about. It's like we're doing okay. So the first thing is, in another week, they're going to be entering the French culture shock system, learning French. Now, I mentioned earlier this morning, my wife and I, our language aptitude turned out to be close to the bottom of where you want to be. They even questioned whether we should go to Togo because we were supposed to learn a tribal language too. But we felt God called us, and we worked our little tails off, and we don't speak at the best of anybody, maybe the worst of everybody, I don't know. But anyway, we got the message across, and it was a joy to watch people respond. So just pray for them, because their ministry so depends on them being able to communicate to people. And I think for Beth especially, she's probably going to need to know one of the tribal languages, because the mothers out there don't learn French, basically, for the most part, unless they're in commerce. But she needs to learn another language, like Anafo or Hausa or something like that. Well, these are not easy languages. The same word can be used several different ways, depending on the context, and it's tonal. So if you say it with the wrong pitch, it means totally something different. So that's the kind of assignment they have. So you need to really pray for them. Those are tough assignments. Protection in travel, health, accidents. You know, every time you drive anywhere in Togo, it's just a little two-lane road, people streaming up and down the sides of roads, and you're passing them at 40, 50, 60 miles an hour, just inches from your mirror. And it's amazing we don't run over more people by God's grace. We've had a few, but not too many accidents. But just pray that God will keep them safe. There's these big semis that come right down the middle of the road at you, and if you don't play chicken with them a little bit, get them on the right side of the road, you might be history too. So, Josh, I'll show you how to play chicken someday when I'm there, okay? But anyway, it's an adventure to live out there, and it depends on what God's sovereign will is for your life out there, really. And you know what? You're not going one day before he wants you to go, so you can go in confidence knowing God's in charge. That's what makes it fun. Because you know God's in charge, because you shouldn't be there sometimes. All right, next. I know a lot of people are worried about your kids' education coming up. So you guys can pray about that. Maybe there's a school teacher sitting here. this is probably one of our greatest needs in all of our mission fields is school teachers. So come and talk to Beth or myself or somebody later if you are willing to go and serve there, because it's a huge need. They have a brand new house being built for them, so I think they're going to be fine that way. But no matter when the holidays come around and you're not with your family, well, you got a new family. We actually have a riot out there. Yeah, we almost forget about the folks back home. Not really, but we're trying. because otherwise you get really lonely and you wish you could be home. Fortunately, the communication system works most of the time, so dialoguing with them, talking with them by phone, Skype out or whatever, works pretty well. And I think again to reiterate, just pray for them to help have God give them the priorities of knowing what's the most important thing that they need to do. Pastor's really addressed this well. He's going to talk about it again here in a few minutes. But the priorities, you can get overwhelmed with the medical needs, and you get so tired you have no energy left to do anything else. And, man, you have to get that figured out really fast, because otherwise you'll just drown in the chaos of all the sickness, and you'll feel powerless because you're not sharing the reason why you were there, to share the love of God with people. So just pray for them in that. And you know, the greatest reason for missionaries dropping out of circulation actually is interpersonal relationships with your colleagues in the field. It's like if you took your whole church hospital or whole staff you're pastoring, put them houses on the same property you own here, and you all live together for the next 20 years. You can imagine what that might be like, right? Well, that's what it is for a mission hospital. All these houses of people living next door to each other who all have type A personalities, all got great ideas. All right, so that's how it goes. All right. Well, I think we've covered most of the essentials here, but the communication is important. Remember birthdays. Remember important dates in their lives. Today, as a matter of fact, one of your staff has their anniversary today. Do you know who that is, Pastor? I shouldn't ask that question. Anyway, the reason I know it's an important date is it's my anniversary today, too, and I got to go home after this is over. 51 years. Wow, I know you don't think I'm that old. I got married really young, okay? All right, let's see here. Well, if God has blessed you financially, don't forget there are a whole lot of people out there who could use your help to get some projects up and going, be able to maybe get people out in the middle of nowhere. We got an airplane that we can fly to remote areas now, between our hospitals and remote areas, so there's always great needs there. If you have a skill, there are a number of you folks who have already, how many of you have been to Togo already to help on a project out there? Could you raise your hand? I guess they're all in the first service, but we've had a number of folks who have come to help us, and we sure do appreciate that. So maybe some of you guys that are retired but still have a lot of skills but still have some good health, come and see me later. I'll talk to you about some needs that we have. All right? So just in closing here, just a reminder from Hebrews chapter 12. You know, this all-star list in chapter 11, all these people who faithfully served God. And God reminds us that these witnesses that we know about from past and even today, you are witnesses, we need to be busy about God's work. Here's what it says, right? Therefore, since we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance or weight of sin which so easily entangles us. Don't get off track. Keep the focus on the Lord Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. We have a great Savior who's in the business of rescuing souls for all eternity, and we have the joy of being involved in that harvest. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Dr. Cropsey, and we certainly take that challenge as a church to be involved with Josh and Beth and with all of our missionaries in a very personal way. I have the privilege now to talk a little bit directly to Josh, since Beth has taken off. That's what happens when you're a brand new mom. I get it. Owen comes first, and that's the way it should be. So here's the only good news about that. You can leave in the second service, and I'll talk to Beth then. How's that? No. In this work of commissioning a family, we want to be challenged as a church, and Dr. Cropsey has done that. As pastor, it's my opportunity to share some words with the couple themselves and to share a charge with them as they move out into this ministry. And I've had a lot of things go through my head, as you can imagine, what I might say. And in the end, I want to just share a couple of practical perspectives, just some viewpoints, some things to remember. I want to talk a little bit about ministry, leadership, the strength you need as you're on the field, the life you live, and finally, what it means to have success. I'd like to hit those things for just a moment each and encourage you in Beth as you go. Before I do, I want to read just a passage of Scripture which is familiar to all of us. It's one that I know will not come as a surprise to anyone, but it's one of the stories where Christ was healing. And in Luke chapter 5, we read, "On one of those days as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal." I just want to stop there and be reminded that this amazing gift you have, Josh, and that Beth shares with you, this gift of opening the body and of recognizing what may have gone wrong and of moving in and changing things, cutting here and suturing there and putting it back together, that's an extraordinary gift. And yet it's not something that just came to you. It's not something that you did yourself. That gift to heal comes from God. He put you together the way that you are. He put Beth together the way she is as a nurse. He brought you together as a couple. That's the work of God in your life. And always approach this ministry you have with the gratefulness that we should all use in enjoying life. So we really respect and focus on the opportunity and recognize it as an amazing gift of God. You have the opportunity to heal. And that's a very special blessing that many of us will never have the experience of knowing. And yet, that gift is God's particular blessing to you, His gifting to you, to let you be used in this special way. As Esther said, prepared for such a time as this. All that you've been doing up to now has been preparing you for such a time as this, so that you can go and do your work in Mongo. So as Jesus was in this position and had this gift, this moment of healing, it says, "Behold, some were bringing a bed with a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in, and because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, Jesus said, 'Your sins are forgiven you.'" Wow. Here's this man paralyzed. Here's this extraordinary work these people have done. And Jesus looks at him, and the first thing he says is, "Your sins are forgiven you." Now, we know the rest of this story, and I won't take time to read it. There were people there, it said earlier, the Pharisees had come from many other cities, and they were at this place where Jesus was teaching. So it's quite a crowd, and quite a crowd of not just supporters, but even those who were there, we know, hostile to Jesus and his teaching. And they bring in this man, and Jesus immediately puts the focus on spiritual things. He says, "Your sins are forgiven you." And then when they raise all kinds of questions about it being the Sabbath and what he can do and take up your bed and walk, he asks a very simple question. He said, "Is it easier to say, 'Take up your bed and walk,' or to say, 'Your sins are forgiven'?" Now, we've got several doctors in the church. I've got three surgeons I'm looking at right now, and I don't want to, actually four surgeons with Dr. Krops here. I don't really want to ask you how difficult it is to heal. I don't want to ask you how difficult it is to do surgery. My son, as you know, had an extraordinary break in his leg, and I know the orthopedist who put that back together, and I don't want to try to go at it with Craig and say, how difficult is it to take up your bed and walk, to heal those shattered bones? It's extremely difficult. And I'm aware that when you say, "Take up your bed and walk," it may just be words, but there's something extraordinary happening there. I tell you that because I don't want us to forget that going out and carrying the gospel is hard work. It takes preparation. It takes training. It takes dedication. It takes support people around us. We sometimes hear that story and think, oh, it's easy to say, take up your bed and walk. It's easy to say, your sins are forgiven you. Saying your sins are forgiven you took all the work of Calvary. It took all the planning of creation. It was hard. It was costly. But Jesus knew that he had come not just to provide the ability to walk to that lame man. He knew that he had come to provide the ability to walk the streets of gold. He knew that the primary thing he had to do was not heal that man's body, but heal that man's soul. And Josh, when you and Beth are there working, it's going to become so easy to get wrapped up in all of the energy and effort and work that goes into providing the physical healing that these people need and that you are there to provide, and we never want you not to do that. But while you're doing that, please always remember that you are there to heal the soul as well as the body. You are there to do the work, the hard work, the work that has to have just as much preparation as your surgical work. You are there to see the kingdom expand and to make sure that those people are healed not just for a few years on earth, but are healed for eternity in heaven. So with that in mind, I would like to just share five simple things that I hope will encourage you. The first is to remember always that ministry is people. We can get so caught up thinking ministry is about programs or about organizations. It's not schools. It's not denominations. It's not churches. It's not mission agencies. It's not NGOs and the work that we do in building hospitals or building farms or building water treatment centers or providing education. All those are great efforts, and yet all those organizations and all those activities are simply tools to the main objective, which is to speak to the hearts of people. Jesus didn't die to save ABWE. Jesus did not die to save Washington Heights Church. Jesus did not die to provide some new organization or some new structure or some new platform or some new program. He died to save people. And everything you do has to be focused on people. And it's going to be so easy to get caught up in administration and organization and the work of fundraising and promoting and supplying. And, you know, there'll be all kinds of things that will be clamoring for your time. But every morning, get up and remind yourself, the ministry I do today is for the people. And everything else will start to fall into line. The second challenge I want to give you is that leadership is serving. I tell you, that's really hard for someone who has gifts and who has skills. When you're well-educated and you come in as a foreigner with that education and you come from a rich nation and you come with a commanding air about you, and I've never met a surgeon who didn't have a commanding air about them, and that's necessary. You've got to walk into an operating room, and you've got to take charge of the team, and you've got to have the confidence to go in and open a body and heal. I get all of that. But what happens is people start to come around you as that well-educated, wealthy, foreign, commanding personality, and they want to lift you up, and they want to put you on a pedestal, and they want to entrust you with responsibility, and they want you to lead. And it's very easy in that situation to start to think that leadership is about what you are doing out in front. And it's never been that way. John said to the people around him that it was Jesus who must increase and he had to decrease. It was Jesus who reminded us that it was the last that will be first. And that if we would truly be leaders, we must become servants of all. When you will really be a leader is when the people see that you are following Jesus and are serving them. It's when they know that your heart is there to minister to them as people. It's when they realize that you are more committed to them than you are to your American culture or your wealthy background or your extraordinary education or even your opportunity to have a commanding personality. It's when you are humble and loving and caring that you will win the hearts of the people. And when you win them, they will follow you and you can lead them to Christ. So ministry is people and leadership is service. And perhaps the one that can often get away from us is that strength is in others. Jesus said through Paul, the body does not consist of one member but many. And God has arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. One of the things that I realize about missionaries is that they are independent people. Heather Amundson is with us. Heather and Doug, of course, another family from our church, no longer in Chile, now in Harrisburg, serving in administrative roles. If we know Heather well, there's an independent spirit. And she's not embarrassed for me to say that, I know. You know, it takes an independent spirit to say, I'm going to pack up, leave my culture, leave my home, go to another country, take on all of that work and responsibility, and establish a new life there. Yep, that's that independent, entrepreneurial, pioneering spirit that we all love. The challenge is we start to rely on that spirit and not on the broader gifts that God has given us in his body and in his church. Your real strength will not come from your education, and it will not come from your skill, and it will not come from your stamina, and it will not come from your wisdom. It will come when you not only humble yourself before God, but when you rely on the church and the team around you. When the rest of the people in Mongo, at the hospital and in the community and in the churches and back here in the States, know that you need us, even as we want to support you. When you share your prayer requests, when you seek advice, when you are willing to allow others to be first, and you find how your particular set of skills balances and supports and works with a greater team, that's when you will find that that team is there to strengthen you when the needs come and when the discouragements settle in. You'll have people who you're connected with, and they will get you through the difficult times. Ministry is people, leadership is service, strength is in others, and how we become dependent. Two more things, and I'll be done with my charge to you. I remember that there was a particularly difficult time when Jesus was with his disciples. And he had been feeding the thousands, and because of that, many, many had followed him. And then he began to teach them the cost of discipleship, and they began to flee away when they realized that it was going to be their lives that he was asking for. And finally, many, many, literally thousands had fled after he had fed them there in John 6. And he turns to the rest of the disciples, and he says, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Peter simply looked up and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life." When we think of that, we so often think of just this book and the words that are there. But what Peter was really saying is that in that relationship with Jesus and what Jesus taught, there was an entirely new way of thinking about life, a new set of values, a new set of priorities. Suddenly, life was not about my accomplishment or about my influence or about my travel or about my ability to garner the praise of others. It wasn't even about what I could do in my calling and field as a doctor to see people healed. Suddenly, life was about being like Jesus. It was about letting others know what he knows and following the values that he has laid out and loving what Jesus loves and having others see the disciples, and in seeing them actually see Jesus, be that transparent window that showed them the eternal God in human form now as they follow Jesus. Paul would say that, "Follow me as I have followed Christ." What that means is that we have to set new standards for our life. And life is in the Word, not just the words, but the living Word that this Word reveals to us. A life that is always saying, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus act? And do the people see Jesus in me? And that's the life you want to develop. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about the clothing. Don't worry about the climate. Don't worry. Those are not the things of life. Think about the life that shows Jesus in everything you do. And finally, the last thing I want to comment on is success. Because you will have a chance to see people honor you in many ways. People will be so thankful for the healing that you bring. They will want to shower you with praise and sometimes shower you with gifts, and they will lift you up in adulation. As you go through your career, you may find that others will learn to rely on you. They will give you more responsibility. You will take on administrative roles. You may be asked to speak and teach and write, and other things can come into it. And you begin to say, what are the markers that determine whether I have done well? And Josh, I just want to encourage you and Beth together that it's not the money you raise. It's not the number of people who are employed at the hospital. It's not the size of the churches that are planted. It's not the influence of the organization that you lead. It's not the decisions that you make. It's not the national recognition you get from the leaders there in that land who will be blessed by the work that you do. All of those things may feel like success, and none of them are. Because the only standard of success is that you've pleased Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. And a part of that verse we often overlook in Matthew 25 is when the master said, enter into your master's joy. He looked at his servant and he said, well done, you have taken the responsibilities I've given you and you have succeeded. But now what I want you to do is reap a benefit which is my pleasure in you. I hope that you and Beth regularly sense God's pleasure in your faithfulness, that you sense His joy, that you sense His satisfaction, because that is the standard of success. And whether or not you write a book or whether or not you lead a team or whether or not you become an administrator or whether or not you have nationals who laud you for all that you've done, none of that will matter if every day you know that you have pleased Jesus and that He is happy. And you walk in the joy of your master. That's the only standard of success you will need. So there's my encouragement to you. Ministry is people. Leadership is serving. Strength is in others. Life is in the Word. And success is knowing the joy of the master. We send you out, and we wish you just absolute joy as you serve the Lord in the years ahead. And we are looking forward to hearing from you all that God is doing.